Praise the Lord. But open up to Matthew chapter 9. These will be on there. And there are times that people need to hear the word on healing, and they need to hear what the scriptures have to say about healing. And the Lord has laid it on my heart to go ahead and start this year off this way, teaching and preaching on the subject of healing. There's a lot of misunderstanding about healing, and there's not a one of us in here from time to time that may not have a need to be healed, or at least we know somebody that does and need to know how to believe and how to step in the gap and pray and trust the Lord to take care of the needs of people when they are going through situations regarding their physical health. So Matthew chapter 9, and take my keys. For some reason, I have my keys here. And I don't know, I had my keys in my pocket, and I don't do that normally. They always go right there. Matthew chapter 9, the title of the message tonight is Your Faith Will Work. And this is very, very important that you understand that your faith will work. Sometimes people are like, well, that works for some. That worked in the Bible. It worked for that preacher or that person over there, and they're just a little more special or something, you know. But for me, I've got news for you. Your faith will work. And from the youngest in faith to the oldest and everybody in between, your faith will work. Amen. Can I hear an amen? All right. So Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 22. And this is a place in the scripture. We looked at this before about the woman with the issue of blood. You remember? She came in behind Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, the tzitzit, which are the fringes, on the talit, which is the Hebrew word for the prayer shawl. And when she reached out and touched the fringes of the garment, the Bible says the blood that was flowing stopped. All right? She had this situation going on. She had this disease for 12 years. And anyway, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus, in verse 22, turns him about when he saw her. He said, and look at this, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Do you see that? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I want you to understand this, and I know you do, and just hear me when I say that. I want you to grab another level tonight of understanding and let your faith grow. And so when I say I want you to understand this, or I want you to get it, you know, hear it with your heart, okay? Jesus, it's interesting, places an emphasis on faith. A lot of times people don't put an emphasis on faith. They put an emphasis on the power of God. And the power of God is obviously real. The power of God healed this woman when she reached out and touched the hem of the garment that Jesus wore. She got healed. So the power of God is real. The power of God will heal, absolutely. But Jesus doesn't put the emphasis there. Where does he put the emphasis? Daughter, verse 22 again, "But Jesus turned him about when he saw her. He said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus put the emphasis on faith. Now, Jesus could have said this. He could have said, "Now, daughter, be of good comfort. It has been the will of God, and it is the will of God for you to be healed." He could have said that. Or he could have said, "Daughter, be comforted. My power has healed you." Right? I mean, he could have said that, but what did he say? He did not say those things. He said, "Daughter, thy faith, be of good comfort, thy faith has made you whole." And she was made whole from that very hour. So I want you to know that Jesus said it was the faith that the woman had that brought the healing into manifestation. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And it's not just on one occasion that this happens. It happens on numerous occasions. We've been looking at different healings in the New Testament. And you'll see Jesus put that emphasis on her faith having made her whole, or this person's faith, or he'll allude to it in one way or another. And I want you to know tonight, faith has not been done away with. If her faith made her whole, guess what? Your faith can make you whole. Some of you out there have issues in your lives and you need healing in your bodies. I want to tell you something. Your faith can make you whole, just like this woman's faith made her whole. And so I want to touch on something, though, because the scripture has something to say about you exercising your faith. First off, you have to exercise your faith. You do your part, God will do his part. You have to feed your faith and exercise your faith. That's your responsibility. If it wasn't, you don't need to hear the word. If you don't have a responsibility to grow in faith, then you don't ever need to hear the word again. I know that sounds odd, coming from a preacher who wants people to come and hear the word. But the fact is, if you don't need to grow in faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you don't need to grow in your faith, and if your faith has nothing to do with you receiving from God, then you don't ever need to hear the word again. But how many of y'all know we need to hear the word? Our faith needs to be growing. It should be growing exceedingly. It is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day process. That's why we put the word in. That's why we listen to the word. That's why we meditate on the word. That's why we read the word. We get into the word. We fellowship with one another about the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that very word. Now, I want to tell you, and hold your place here in Matthew 9, and jump over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something quickly. I feel like we really need to hit on this because I think there's some confusion from time to time regarding this. How were you saved? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved. But notice the next two words, it says, through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 goes on, says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to understand that faith is necessary to receive what grace has provided. Faith receives what grace provides. Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. And within that whole teaching of grace, salvation falls into that area, healing and prosperity and all these things, deliverance, the peace of God. Grace has been placed out there. For by grace are you saved, but it doesn't stop right there. You notice that. It didn't stop there. It didn't say, for by grace are you saved, period. End of discussion. No, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So, if grace were enough, then that doctrine that's floating around that everybody's saved and just doesn't know it, you know, people have been preaching that junk, then that would apply. By grace, you're saved. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. Everybody's saved. That's that teaching that was going around and still is out there. That, you know, everybody out there, because Jesus provided salvation, everybody's saved. But that's not true, is it? See, that's like saying, for by grace you're saved. You forgot the other part of it. It says, through faith. And that's not of you, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, grace is put out there for us. Faith receives what grace has provided. So you say, now, Pastor Dan, what are you talking about there? The faith of Christ provided righteousness. We find that in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. The faith of Christ provided grace and all that grace encompasses. Christ set an example of how to live. He trusted his Father. His faith did the job and provided this thing that we call grace. And under grace is righteousness is part of that. You know, the salvation experience, healing is provided. And this grace was given to mankind, but it has to be received by faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how are you going to ever hear the word unless somebody preaches it to you? How can they hear unless there's a preacher, right? Doesn't it say that? It says that somebody has to preach. And beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. So what has been provided for mankind was bought and purchased by Christ living an exemplary life of being totally sin-free, never sinned. He walked in faith. He never doubted his Father. He laid aside all of his attributes of deity, yet still remained deity in the flesh. But he laid aside all the privileges of being God and operated as a man with the Word. And so his faith, you know, his faith paid for it. His walk of faith that we see, we're told to mimic him, be imitators of Christ. You remember that. The Greek word is mimetes. We get the English word mimic from it. It's there in Colossians chapter 3. I believe it's 3. Oh, I've got an itch on the end of my nose here, and this is the thing that, you know, I had that deal stuck up there the other day. Oh, my goodness sakes. Ah! Anyway, it's good. It's good for you because you're not feeling it, but All right. I used to do I do that years ago when I taught at the tennis club, and you know you'd have a tennis ball, and you'd be playing and you'd rub your nose. Well, if you had tennis ball balls have it's their wool, the covering is wool, and little tiny fibers get on your nose and in your nose, and before you know it, man, you are itching so bad you got wool up your nose. You know, that's kind of what it feels like. Anyway, all right, so. Faith receives what grace has provided. For by grace are you saved. See, it's that gift through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What is that saying? It's the faith of Christ that provided it. So you and I still have a responsibility to grow in our faith. We can't just say, well, it's Christ took care of all that, so I don't need to do anything. Do we? No, you got to get the Word. How many of y'all know? You got to get into the Word. Your faith has to grow. He said to this woman, it's by your faith you were made whole. So I can tell you tonight, it's going to be by your faith that you'll receive from him. Christ's faith provided what we have available to us. Now we have to take the Word, believe it, and receive it. As if we didn't. If we didn't have to do that, as I said earlier, you'd never have to listen to the Word again. Because if it were just going to be what Christ's faith, man, I mean, he paid for everything in his walk. And when he rose up from the dead, I mean, it was the faith of Christ where he walked in faith throughout this earth as he lived those 33 years, set an example, never sinned, gave his life up for us, and in giving his life up for us, became that sacrifice, that sinless sacrifice. They killed him. He rose up from the dead. He's alive forevermore. His faith was what, I mean, he walked by faith. And it was his faith that purchased everything that we call grace. Everything that's underneath grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So, okay, all right. His faith paid for grace. You and I have to receive it by faith. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, your faith didn't make you righteous. His faith paid the price for righteousness. All you can do is say, I agree with that, and I believe I receive it. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart. Okay? So don't let that trip you up. Christ's faith paid for everything. You and I, by faith, receive what he's made available to us. Okay, so let's go back over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9 again. And let's look here. I've got some verses I want to share with you quickly. We'll just move right along and be out of here just shortly. But I want you to get what the Word has to say. Okay, so there are like, I don't know how many instances of healing in the Gospels. There's many of them. And the majority of them, the individual's faith is referred to or it is obviously seen. Now, go back a couple of chapters to Matthew 8. Look at verse number 13. Matthew 8, verse number 13. This was the time when the centurion had come. You remember the famous thing where he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest speak the word, or come under my roof rather, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority." This is verse 9. "Having soldiers under me, I say, go, and he goes, come, and to another, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Jesus said, "I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Jump on down. Jesus said in verse 13 unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as," underline that, "and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So, as thou hast believed. The person, this centurion, his faith caused the power of God to be turned loose. He certainly didn't say, "Because you've been doubting like crazy, I'm going to do this anyway." And he also didn't say, "It's my power that does it and you have nothing to do with it." He didn't say, "My faith took care of that. You don't have to believe at all." I know that sounds like I'm emphasizing something just very, but it's very simple. His faith made it available and purchased it. Our faith receives from him of what his faith had done. So here he says in verse 13, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so it be done to thee." Now, God's will hasn't and won't change. You see that? It hasn't and will not change. His will is still that you and I walk in divine health. His will is that we have our needs met. His will is that we live in peace and have peace in our homes, and our children are taught of the Lord, and so on and so forth. We find that into the Word. But I want to tell you this, that your will to receive his will does come into play. Your will to receive his will comes into play. Now, go to Matthew 9. You're in Matthew 8. Go to Matthew 9. Look at verse 27. Okay. Matthew 9, verse 27. Here's two blind men. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea or yes, Lord. Verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying," what did he say? "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, two blind men, be it unto you. There's another instance. According to your faith, be it unto you. Jump over to Matthew 15. So Jesus does this a lot. He puts the onus back onto the people to have faith in him. Now, you and I, our faith couldn't purchase healing for ourselves or anybody else. It took Christ's faith to do that. And his faith purchased it. You have to believe what his faith purchased. Okay, so I can't go, "Well, Christ's faith purchased salvation for me, so I guess everybody's saved. I don't have to do anything." That's not true. You have to believe that what his faith did was good enough, and you accept him into your heart, and you believe on him. You have to believe that what his faith did in providing healing was enough, and you accept him, and you believe on him, and you trust, and you read the word, and let faith grow in your heart, and you receive what he has provided. You have an obligation to grow in faith. You cannot stay stagnant and just have, "I just have just a little bit of faith, and I always, you know, I lost it last week." Well, you don't want that. You want to keep growing in faith. And if you grow in faith, things change. I'm telling you, things change. And until you have laid hands on somebody and spoken in the name of Jesus and seen a person healed. I've seen people healed instantly. I've seen people healed over time. I've seen God do miraculous things in a moment. Explain it? I can't. It was God. I've also seen times where it took a longer period of time, and we stood and we stood and we stood. Sure. But faith comes into play. Amen. So in verse 27. This is that Syrophoenician woman. Excuse me. 15 verse 28. Matthew 15, verse 28, and you can cross-reference this with Mark chapter 7, verse 25, and it says that she's a Greek woman and that she was a Syrophoenician woman and her daughter had a devil. You remember that. Look what he says in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 15. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You see that? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I said to you before that your will comes into play as to whether or not you're going to receive God's will. Your will comes into play as to whether or not you're going to receive God's will. God's will is that you live in divine health. You have a will. And Jesus just told this woman, even as thou wilt, or in other words, even as you have willed, be it done unto you. Great is your faith. Sure. This was the woman that said, you know, The disciples were like, what's going on with this woman? And she was crying, have mercy on me, and my daughter's got a devil, and so on and so forth. And Jesus tells her, I've been sent to the house of Israel. You remember that? And so she comes and worships him and says, Lord, help me. Do you find a time where Jesus says, I'm not going to help? If Jesus is there and somebody comes up and says, help me, this one right here appears like he's saying, you're a dog. It's not, look at this. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Sounds to me like he called her a dog. Well, somebody who was outside the covenant by their birth, a person of Canaan. Canaan was not a good place. But then her comeback, or what she said to the Lord was, that's true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And that's when Jesus said, you have great faith. It doesn't always play out the way people think it will. And by the way, Jesus said that it is thy faith that, and we saw how many examples, right? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Great is your faith. He didn't say, and remember, it doesn't say, thy knowledge hath made you whole. Thy understanding of the situation has made you whole. Doesn't say that. Sometimes we equate knowledge with faith, and that's not always the way it is. That's the danger in it, where if we're not cautious, we start to think because we know a few things about it that we automatically have faith. I'll take you back to a child. Many times I'd rather have a child pray for me. You know why? They don't doubt. Kids don't doubt. I've seen adults get healed when a child prayed for them. I've been healed when my child has prayed for me. You know. So, it's not by knowledge. It's thy faith. It's by faith, okay? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's stay on that and be reminded of that. Mark chapter 10. Jump over to Mark chapter 10. We're just about there. Mark 10. This is Bartimaeus. You remember Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, in verse 52. This was the one when he started screaming and hollering. Blind Bartimaeus, they called him, sat by the highway side begging. Here Jesus was there and he starts crying. They tell him to be quiet and he gets louder yet. Okay? And verse 51, Jesus answered, said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I mean, can you have some compassion on this? You know, look at this. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Whose faith? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, Jesus didn't say it was my power that did it, although we know that the power of God heals people and removes blindness and raises the dead. But what's the key to having that power released? Your faith. This man's faith. I've been in meetings where people have been healed before. We've had people healed of broken bones, and I've seen God heal broken bones. Instantly, a broken bone healed. I've seen that. I've seen God straighten out a person's walk where they couldn't walk straight and God just did a miracle on their back and on their hips. I've seen God do that already. I've seen God heal a broken foot. Pastor John was singing one night in a meeting and God healed a woman who had a broken foot, totally healed, started dancing on that broken foot and leg, whatever it was. And next time we saw her, she didn't have a cast on. She's totally healed. I've seen the power of God work. I've seen deaf and dumb people healed. I've seen God do this. And so God's power we know is real. But you and I are the determining factor as to whether or not his power is going to flow in our life. If I just say, well, God's already provided it, he's got to do it, and I don't take time to get into the word and exercise covenant rights and grow in my faith, nothing's going to happen. Well, are you working to provide that? No. Hold it. Faith, the Bible says, without works is dead. So there are some corresponding actions that you have to your faith. With this man, he was sitting there begging, and when he heard it was Jesus, and they told him to be quiet, some of the disciples and those in the crowd, he got louder. What was the woman's act of a work that we found in Matthew chapter, where were we, in chapter 9 when we first started out, the woman with the issue of blood, what'd she do? She could have been stoned for going out in public like that. I mean, those people were ruthless. They find somebody who had an issue of blood and they're around people. It's almost as crazy as like it is today with this virus thing floating around, you know, and you don't have a mask on. We're going to holler at, you know, and I'm like, wow, whatever. But this woman's out there in the among the people, and she could have been stoned to death for doing what she did. That was her step, that work, if you will. And Jesus said it was your faith that made you whole. So there are works or corresponding actions that go along with your faith, okay? Again, verse 52, go thy way, thy faith, Bartimaeus, hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now that's a testimony. This guy was blind just 5 minutes ago. And now he's seeing. How are you going to deal with that? All the unbelievers out there. Luke chapter 8, quickly, Luke 8. And verse number 50, this is the Jairus' daughter, you remember? And they came and they told him that his daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. So did the man have some faith? Obviously he did. Obviously he did believe. Obviously Jesus told him the truth. Amen. Your faith will make you whole. Your faith will receive what the faith of Christ purchased for you. Your faith will receive what the faith of Christ purchased for you, for mankind. But what's the name of the teaching I'm trying to think of? Where everybody's saved, they just don't know it. I've mentioned it many times. I didn't write it down, but anyway, it'll come to me. But that doctrine says you're already saved. There's nothing you need to do. We need to be careful of that we say, you know, all right, the faith of Christ provided that, but there's still your part to do. You got saved. Chris, you got saved when you decided to accept what Jesus did for you. Amen. Universalism. Isn't that it? Yeah, it is. Universalism. And that's like everybody's saved. They just don't know it. Thank you, Ann. See, that's my better half. Amen. So you don't have to amen too loudly out there either. But amen. Amen. I know. Luke chapter 17, verse number 19 is the incident with the 10 lepers. So you're in Luke, just flip forward a few chapters, 8 chapters, where we were in 9 chapters. Go up to Luke 17 quickly. You remember the 10 lepers? And one of them turned around to give thanks. And he was a Samaritan, it says there in verse 16. And Jesus said, were there not 10? Jesus knew. What was going on here? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? In other words, where are the other 9? They didn't take time to give God glory for it? always is a good thing to give the Lord thanksgiving for what he does in your life. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. What is the next phrase? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Are we seeing a pattern here? Come on, you seeing the pattern? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Sure. Sure. Thy faith has made you whole. Arise, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, much of the church will come along and say, you know, Lord, if it's your will, bring healing. But I'm telling you, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that if it be thy will. Well, Jesus prayed, if it be thy will, Father, take this, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was not ministering to the sick in the garden. That is a prayer of consecration and dedication. And he's saying, not my will, but yours be done, Father. I know I don't necessarily want to go through what I know these Romans do to people. And I see what's coming. And if there's any way that we can do this another way, that would be great. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he was yielding to the Father. And in his manhood, he was coming under great pressure. Sure. See, he laid aside the benefits of being God in the flesh. And this is hard for us to segregate in our thinking sometimes. He laid that aside, and he said, I could call on 12 legions of angels and be out of here in a heartbeat. But you know what? Then what his faith would have provided would not have been provided for us, and mankind would be doomed to hell for eternity. So we praise God that he didn't turn into a coward of some sort. Jesus was, oh my goodness, there's never been another human being that walked like Jesus Christ walked. And we praise God for it. Amen. So the Bible does not teach that, you know, this, if it be your will, send healing, Lord. No. We did find that anything that you say about forgiveness, you can also say about healing. Do you remember that? Jesus talked about it when dealing with the man who was on the stretcher, born of four. And he said, which is easier, to say, son, your sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He turns to the sick of the palsy and says, arise, take up your bed and walk, and the guy gets healed. What that showed was that forgiveness and healing come from the same source. And so if forgiveness is received by faith, healing is received by faith. Amen? Come on, go ahead, stand to your feet. So it's really quite simple. What Jesus provided for us, and when it comes underneath that covering or that encapsulation of grace as we know it. Grace is wonderful. There's a lot of good stuff in grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of you. Not of you. It took the faith of Christ to provide grace for mankind. Mankind has to receive Jesus Christ by faith. You must receive him as your healer by faith. See, his faith provided it. You and I have something to do in the process. Grow in the word. Grow in faith. Your faith should be always, always increasing. If that's not the case, then you and I don't ever have to listen to the word or read it ever again, because we don't need faith, because it's all somebody else's faith. It's not the way it works. You'll only go so far as a young Christian on somebody else praying for you all the time. Do you hear me? You know, I can pray for people, and then at some point it becomes their responsibility to start to grow up and get some faith of your own. Amen. I know that doesn't maybe sound so nice, but I meant it nice, okay? Austin, when he was a little boy, I used to stand down here on the floor down there, and he'd stand up here and he'd say, Dad, catch me, I want to fly. He doesn't remember that because he's taller than I am now, you know. And he'd jump into my arm. I mean, sometimes catch me off guard. Oh, my goodness, you know. Can you imagine if that 6'3", 6'4", what are you, Austin, 6'4"? If that 6'4", whatever, I want to fly, Dad. I'm like, you're going to hit the ground, son, because I'm out of the way. I'm not going to catch a nearly 200-pound man flying through the air at me, you know. Kind of like wrestling, huh? So, no, there came a point where I said, you're big enough, you walk yourself. You walk yourself. Madeline, it was you at the zoo. I was going to say it was Shelby. It wasn't Shelby. It was you. That when you were real little, we went to the zoo with some of the youth, and I guess, Shelby, you were there, but she was real little. And you wanted somebody to carry you around the zoo. And guess who that somebody ended up being? You know, I don't think I want to hoist you and put you on my shoulder these days. You know what I'm saying? You're an adult now, and well, not quite literally an adult, but no. So that happens, doesn't it? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Grow in your faith. Grow up. Grow in the things of God. Praise the Lord. Your faith will receive from him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for the word. We thank you and praise you for what the faith of Christ has provided for us. We thank you and praise you for all of those good things that are ours. And we just choose to believe and receive what you have provided. We'll get into the word. We'll read and listen and study and over and over be convinced over and over that it's your will for us to walk in divine health, that it's your will for us to prosper, that it's your will for us to have divine peace, that it is your will that one day we spend eternity in heaven with you. We know that. So we're thankful for it. As we get into the word, our faith continues to grow in Jesus' name. Amen.